Monster Movie Media presents.
This is Corey Burton, the voice of the El Rey Network, and the Haunted Mansion Holidays, and of course Captain Hook, and many others. And you're listening to the Creepy Kingdom Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 77 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast. A podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, we conclude our series of amazing content from the Scare LA Haunt Convention that took place this past August in Pasadena, California, Los Angeles. We are going to share with you two readings as performed by Captured Oral Fantasy Theater. The first is a reading of the original script for the Haunted Mansion, and the second is a reading of the Haunted Mansion record live with Peter Renaday. You may recall him from the episode we played a few back, from the Disembodied Spirits episode. He was the voice of the ghost host on the record, as well as countless other Disney attractions. If you hear laughing and don't understand why, and you're not watching the video version, it's because they perform lots of little things on stage, including shadow puppets and some weird stuff. So I would recommend watching the video version of the show, which of course can be found at creepykingdom.com or on our YouTube channel by searching for Creepy Kingdom. After that, we read some listener email live from Disneyland. So without any further ado, let's begin.
The spirits will materialize only if you remain quietly seated at all times. Oh, yes. No flash pictures, please. We spirits are frightfully sensitive to bright lights.
Para su seguridad, permanece. Y tengo las manos, brazos, pies y piernas dentro del vehículo. Y cuídalas, pequeñitos. Y ahora, preparase.
The E-Ticket. The Foundation of the Haunted Mansion by Ed Squire, February 2004. Welcome, foolish mortals. Disneyland's Haunted Mansion went through many changes during its long development. 18 years passed between Harper Goff's 1951 sketch of a creepy, dilapidated haunted house situated on a hill over Main Street, and the attraction's opening on August 9, 1969. Walt Disney himself had the idea of a haunted house in his earliest conception of Disneyland. In the mid-1960s, legendary Imagineer Riley Crump proposed the Museum of the Weird Queue Line concept, while his colleague devised the Sea Captain storyline a little later. In the mid-1950s, Walt tapped artist Ken Anderson to fully develop his concept of a ghost house for Disneyland Park. By late 1957, Anderson had a full script and detailed map for what would have been a very spooky walkthrough attraction located in the not-yet-created New Orleans Square area of Disneyland. His detailed plans allow us the very interesting exercise of imagining what it would be like to experience the house as if it were built exactly as fully conceived in the script dated September 9th, 1957. We can discover for ourselves both how the story changed after that and what elements remain in the completed mansion. Our approach to the house on a shady back street of New Orleans is very easy to picture in the mind's eye. An antebellum mansion with wrought iron gates typical of New Orleans, circa 1800. The ghost house, however, had a rundown, neglected appearance. At the gatehouse, we sign our names to a guest register book and enter the mansion grounds. Occasionally, skulls and other bones can be seen protruding from the silent paths we walk over. And did that statue tucked away in the unkempt, overgrown garden move when we looked away? Most distressing, though, is our glimpse of a girl in an upstairs window who screams suddenly and is throttled by a large, hairy hand which draws her back into the darkness. We hope we don't cross paths with the bearer of that hand later. Gathering on the front porch, we are treated to an introduction to the house and its history, recorded by none other than the house's new owner in Disneyland.
Swamps
that not even Southern California sunshine or the best efforts of electricians or illumination engineers, as we call them in the 21st century, can dispel the dimness of the bayous. Now, we cannot promise you that anything at all will occur during your visit, since it is usually in the wee small hours that the dead ones live it up. However, be prepared to see and hear something or other, and take whatever precautions you please. We recommend that you stay close together during your visit, and please, above all, obey your guide's instructions. Thank you!
From Walt himself. Thus warned, we cautiously enter the house and find ourselves in a large, dark entry hall, as the main door closes by itself behind us. Bats can be seen flittering about above, and an eerie wind can be heard along with creaking doors and rattling shutters. Our guide, a butler, enters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bloodmere. I am the butler for the new owner, and I am the caretaker for the house. I will be happy to take you on a tour of it. The ghosts are unusually active today. The last group through saw several of them. If we're lucky, we may see even more. Please stick close together, don't dawdle behind, and especially stay away from the walls where secret panels may appear. The house has a supernatural, musical atmosphere that we must get in tune with so as to not to irritate the spirits as we pass through.
We walk through a gallery lined with locked doors, suggesting rooms too dangerous to enter, as well as several paintings. At first glance, they seem ordinary, but their eyes follow us as we pass.
The people in these paintings are all ghosts. Both famous and infamous, they were acquaintances of the unfortunate Blood family, which inhabited the house in life.
The supreme tragedy of the house occurred while the Blood family was hosting friends on the eve of the real-life wedding of their beautiful daughter. An event too horrible to mention prevented the wedding. You see, the Blood's daughter, Priscilla, was to marry a former seaman, Captain Gore. Captain Gore sailed the seas through storms and waves. After a long voyage, he tied his ship to a pier in the port of New Orleans. As he stepped off the ship, he saw the most gorgeous woman he had ever seen. Priscilla Blood was from one of the oldest, most prominent families in town. She was struck by the dashing captain, and they fell in love. He lavished her with jewels, and soon they were set to be married. The night before the wedding, Priscilla snuck into the captain's room to leave a love note for him, but noticed an old sea chest poking out from under the bed. She was curious and opened it. Inside, she found the source of the jewels and discovered the truth of her husband. He was, in fact, the pirate, Black Bart. Priscilla was heartbroken and set off to find him. She confronted her betrothed outside near the home's old well. The captain grew furious at her deceit, but she met his anger. In a rage, he overpowered her and strangled her, dumping her body down the well. However, when his anger had lifted, he realized his crime and in anguish, killed himself in his room. The house has been enveloped in darkness ever since. It has been rumored that on every anniversary of that night, for the last 150 years, the ghosts have been attempting to complete the ceremony which would lift the curse on the home. Doors continue to lead us into a dimly lit library. A cold draft passes through the room, a well-known sign of imminent supernatural encounters. Heavy bookcases full of dusty, leather-bound volumes line the room. A large mirror is over the fireplace.
This room is the library. It has the most stories in the house. Unfortunately, he prefers the company of live human beings, won't have anything to do with him. I wouldn't be surprised if the lonesome...
Welcome, welcome. I'm the lonesome ghost. Did I hear someone mention my name? I'm not going to be lonesome today. This is a very special day. Two of our ghosts from prominent old ghost families are getting married. And every ghost who is anybody is here already, and more are arriving by the minute. Since you are just in time for the wedding, and I just love to be with people, I'll be going along with you to the wedding. Oh, I forgot. You mortals can't see me. There now. That's better. Let me introduce you to some of our betrothed couple's relatives who have lived here from one time or another. That's Uncle Dorian. Don't really know what his secret is. But please, let's move on. We have a wedding to attend.
Shall we? No problem, no problem. Nothing to worry about.
We find ourselves in a large room with a high ceiling, pretending not to pay attention to what just happened. And a balcony along one side with doors on either end. A full flight of stairs leads to the floor above, and another pair of doors looks like a promising way out. But that has proved to be a dangerous assumption by this time. The ghostly figure of a woman appears, and we are interrupted by a blood-curdling scream from one end of the balcony. We now find ourselves in a space running between rooms, with unfinished walls on either side, and spider webs and fluttering bats overhead. Rounding a corner, we find ourselves in a bedroom, with an antique, empty four-poster bed. Behind us is another shuttered window, through which we hear the storm growing ever fiercer, now punctuated by an occasional thunderclap. The room comes to life.
Poison darts gift.
And I just love the arsenic and old blades.
Just had to have the guillotine book Jenny.
Suddenly, wedding bells peal. This is the great hall of the house, all decked out for a grand wedding, circa the early 1800s. A large table on the floor below holds a wedding cake, candles, and flowers, all now long covered with cobwebs. The ceremony is beginning. Vibrations. The spirits do not like this ceremony. Let's get out of here.
Hurry back. Hurry back. Be sure to bring your death certificate if you decide to join us. Make final arrangements now. We've been dying to have you.
The end. By the way, I'd like to introduce, we have Nicole back there, and Tomas, and our little friend, the lonesome ghost, Mike. We also have Laurel here on sound, and Carlos on the visuals. So we are Cast Our Own Fantasy Theater. We perform all over Los Angeles. Our stock and trade is bringing old vintage comic books to life. And we have a new exclusive permission from EC Comics to do all the Tales from the Crypt and all that stuff live. The only place in the world, we're the only group in the world to be able to do that. But I just want to talk really quick about that Haunted Mansion piece that we just did. So that's all taken from, pieced together from snippets of the script from 1957. And most of the artwork were all the sketches that went along with that script. And then we tried to visualize. But obviously nobody had ever performed it before. It was supposed to be a walkthrough, so you would get to the house, and a guide would actually take a group of people and walk you through the house. This was before the Omni Mover and all that. Of course, in, I think it was 60 or 61, the Omni Mover was being invented for the World's Fair, and they were like, wait a minute, we don't have to pay guides. We can just have people sit in this thing and go through. So that's what happened. But a lot of the same elements remain.
This hurts me more than it does you. Now take a running start. About a mile or two!
The Haunted Mansion, a children's storytelling record by Ron R. Wood, 1969. Have you ever been to a haunted house? You know the kind I mean. That old dark house that's usually at the end of the dimly lit street. The owners haven't been seen for years. No one really knows why. The windows are broken and boarded, and the shutters hang loose on their hinges. The trees have grown wild. Their branches brush against the sides of the weathering house, making strange noises in the night. There's a high vine-covered fence around the property. Is it there to keep somebody out? Or is it there to keep something inside? It's a house that people avoid walking past at night. Strange sounds come from within the walls, and it's said that eerie lights have been seen both in the attic window and in the graveyard at the side of the house. Our story revolves around this mysterious mansion. One autumn night, not long ago, two teenagers were walking home from a date. The night was cool and lightning broke through the sky. The wind began to blow and the lightning cracked again. Thunder rolled across the heavens and changed this pleasant evening into a night to be remembered. Karen held Mike's hand tightly as they began to walk faster down the street. The lightning struck again and illuminated the front of the old mansion. It began to rain. Mike and Karen ran forward into the old house, through the old iron gate, and onto the porch for protection. Protection. If only they had known.
Oh, Mike, look at that rain come down. We'll never get home on time.
Oh, sure we will. It's not quite midnight. Now, this old porch isn't going to keep us dry, though.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get the front door open. No one lives here. We can wait inside until the storm is over.
Not me. I'm not going in that old house. I'd rather stay right here and get wet.
There. Come on. Don't be afraid. I'll light a match. Well, I'll be. You know, this house is still full of furniture. It's as though someone still lived here.
There's a candelabra. Light some candles.
Good evening.
Who said that?
open.
When hinges creak in doorless chambers, and strange and frightening sounds echo through the halls, whenever candlelights flicker where the air is deathly still, that is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight. Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Mansion. I am your host, your ghost host. Kindly step this way. There's no turning back now. You will not be harmed, but you will not be released until you take a tour of my home. We have so few visitors, live ones, that is. Our tour begins here, in this ghostly gallery.
Mike and Karen, too frightened to find another way out, obey their host's voice and emerge and enter the candlelit gallery. The gallery was a large room. Its walls were covered with paintings. As Mike and Karen stepped into the room, the wall behind them slid closed.
Mike, we shouldn't have come in here. I'm scared.
I don't see a way out. There's no doors, not even a window.
Here in the gallery, you see rare paintings of some of our residents as they appeared in their corruptible mortal state. Even in this flickering gloom, your cadaverous pallor betrays an aura of foreboding. Your trusting mortal eyes tell you that these walls are stretching. But logic says, no, 'tis mere hallucination. Then look above you. Examine everything carefully. Your logic cannot deny that this chamber has no windows and no doors, which offer a rather logical challenge to find a way out. There's always my way.
Lightning flashed from above the room, illuminating the attic area. There seemed to be no roof. From the rafters, a corpse swayed, dangling from a taut rope. A black raven flew into the room and perched on the bookcase.
Caw, caw! The coward's way out. He chose the coward's way out.
The candles Mike held went out mysteriously. Karen clutched his hand during what seemed to be an endless darkness. In a few seconds, the candles relit. A panel opened, exposing a dimly lit hallway. On the left side were windows revealing a grotesque landscape frequently illuminated by the lightning flashes. On the opposite side of the corridor were large portraits. When the lightning flashed, these paintings turned into decaying corpses.
We should have never come in here. Ah! What was that?
It's okay. It's just that raven.
Did someone scream? Oh, we didn't mean to frighten you prematurely. Apparently the restless spirit of an old hag has taken possession of that poor wretched raven's immortal being. Be on your guard. It may want to better itself. Come along now.
Mike and Karen walked down the long tapering corridor. There seemed to be a light at the far end, pitch blackness behind them. The hallway made a sharp turn into an eerie lit limbo of boundless mist and decay. The furnishings and walls were covered with cobwebs. A staircase seemed to be the only passageway out. As they climbed to the second floor, they were greeted by an appalling cold. This, as you know, is the traditional manifestation of the supernatural.
I hope you don't have an aversion to darkness and cold. But you see, we spirits are sensitive to light, and every consideration has been given to our comfort here in this delightfully dreary place.
Where do we go from here? How do we get out of this horrible place?
This seems to be the main corridor. Well, let's hope it leads back to the staircase and a way out. Come on, let's keep going.
Look out! Quick,
back the doorway!
Through the dimly lit mist of the upstairs corridor, a ghost-like figure ran screaming past Mike and Karen. Footsteps, screams, the sound of rattling chains caused the figure down the hallway and faded into darkness.
It's nice to see the folks enjoying themselves. In my home, every room has wall creeps and hot and cold running chills. But it's taken time to give it that comfortable, unlived-in look.
The kids turned their backs on the corridor and looked into the room toward the sound of their host's voice. The candles Mike held again mysteriously dimmed and went out. They stood frozen with fright. They were in the cold, old conservatory, a room cluttered with decaying flowers and plants. Broken windows in the room allowed them to see the outside. There below was the private graveyard. Even though the rain was falling hard, an unnatural fog choked the gravestones. The rain was coming in through the broken windows. The air was damp, had a musty smell. The raven flew in and perched on top of the large box situated in the middle of the room.
What's that noise?
I'll light the candles. There!
It's a coffin. Somebody's trying to get out.
You've disturbed a guest. You'll be sorry for that.
Mike and Karen ran out of the room into the dark hallway. They passed several closed doors as they continued towards the far end. From each door they passed, natural and unnatural sounds came from within. Each sounded as though it were trying to get out of the hall.
Mike, I'm so frightened.
Whatever you do, don't betray your presence by screaming. Follow my voice. Be calm. You have a very active imagination. That's good.
They went into another room, dimly lit by flickering candles. There, an unusual seance was in session.
We're about to participate in a seance. Adam Leota is assembling all the spirits who have been just dying to meet.
Madam Leota, the medium who was chanting the plaintive incantations was quite unique. Quite unique. She was truly a disembodied spirit, a mere talking head inside a misty crystal ball. As she invoked the spirits, objects floated about the room in response to her supplications.
Serpents and spiders, tail of a rat, call in the spirits wherever they're at. Rap on a table, it's time to respond. Send us a message from somewhere beyond. Goblins and ghoulies from last Halloween, awaken the spirits with your tambourine. Crawlies, toads in a pot, let there be music from regions beyond. Wizards and witches, wherever you dwell, give us a hint by ringing a bell.
Mike, something's moving there, in the corner.
It looks like smoke. But there's another one.
Come now. We must leave this cozy little circle. All the spirits have received your sympathetic vibrations and are beginning to materialize.
The ghost host led Mike and Karen through another doorway and onto a balcony overlooking a grand hall. A party was taking place, one of the strangest parties you've ever seen. There was a long dining table covered with decayed food and withering flowers. Cobwebs were everywhere. It seemed to be a birthday party. When the birthday ghost blew out the candles on the cake, several other ghosts disappeared. They were reappeared when the ghost inhaled again. There was an elderly lady rocking and knitting. When she rocked forward, she disappeared. When she rocked back, she too reappeared. Several ghosts were playing on the chandelier over the massive dining table. Others were waltzing while an organist played a haunting refrain.
This is crazy. I don't believe what I see. Why did we ever come in this house?
But there's a door at the end of the balcony. Come on.
Mike and Karen entered the door and came face to face with a ghost dressed as a bride. She was strangely illuminated and her heart glowed red with each heartbeat. The room they were in was an unfinished attic. As they turned to run out the door, another ghostly manifestation appeared and blocked their way. He was a cloaked figure with an evil, grinning face. A hatbox hung from his hand. With each beat of his bride's heart, his head disappeared from his body and appeared in the hatbox.
We're trapped! There's no way out!
Hold the candles. I'll try to open this window. Come on! We're in luck! There's a balcony out here! But watch your step. The rain's made everything really slippery.
The candles went out again.
Well, they just leave them. We're outside now. Everything's gonna be okay. But there's some steps down at the far end.
They lead to that graveyard.
Come on, it's the only way.
Our adventurous pair descended the steps to the ground level and began their walk through the private burial grounds, trying to find their way out of this living nightmare. They passed an old caretaker holding a lantern, too frightened to speak. His dog was cowering at his feet, whimpering. There was music all around them, and the sky was filled with wispy spirits. They passed a group of minstrels who paid no attention to their presence. One was playing a bagpipe, the other a harp, and the other a horn. There was a hunchback playing a flute, and a cadaverous drummer pounding on a tempo on a gravestone. A group of cats and a family of owls joined in with a spooky harmony. There was a king and queen balancing a teeter-totter on a gravestone, and a duchess sipping a cup of tea. Behind the hearse, on a hill, a group of ghosts were enjoying a bicycle ride through the tombstones. A huge, masked executioner was singing a duet with a decapitated knight, who held his singing head in an extended hand.
Oh, there's that raven again.
Caw, caw! Beware, my friends. They may try to follow you home. Caw! Mike, are you sure we're going the right way?
Well, I think so. There's only one path. It looks like there's something up ahead.
That grit! That's the one by the fence. It's the way out.
Come on, stay close.
I told you you would not be harmed. Thank you for spending some time with us. Come back again. Bring your friends, if they'll believe the story you tell. I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.
Now our fun begins.
The end.
When ghosts and goblins by the score, ring your bell or pound your door. Better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true.
All right, I'm here live from Disneyland USA in the queue for Indiana Jones and
the Temple of the Forbidden Eye.
The Temple of the Forbidden Eye. I always forget the extra part of that.
Okay, I got you, babe.
Roxy's got me. As you can tell, I'm here with Roxy Tart, Cupcake Terror.
What's up, dogs?
And Nikki.
Yo.
And yo.
Nikki doesn't get a cool name.
Well, this is your first time. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, blocking people.
Real nice, James.
Hey, I didn't know. This is your first time on the podcast, so you haven't earned a title yet, right?
I'm title free, baby. Nobody owns this.
Wow. Okay. Well, we thought this would be the perfect time to read some listener email.
Woo! It's my favorite time, listener email time. You know I love listener emails.
Yeah.
We
do know that. And we know who gets to read the listener emails. It's Miss Roxy Tart.
This email is from Zephyr, and it's titled, Creepy, It's a Small World. Hello, I'm Zephyr, and I recently listened to your podcast on It's a Small World. I've only been on the Disney World one, as I live a lot closer to Florida. When I was younger, my family would go almost once a year, and we would always go on this ride when we needed a break from standing in long lines, as this ride rarely has a line. But I have been as recently as last year and noticed some creepy things about the ride. The first is more from a germaphobe point of view, but as your boat is leaving the loading area, you can look up and see the windows of the restaurant, and they are covered in grimy handprints and who knows what else. It just let me grossed out and a bit creeped out thinking about germs. The second thing, it's more traditionally creepy. So the last time we went on the ride, I noticed a doll I had never seen before hanging from the bottom of the Eiffel Tower. This is the only picture I could find of it. There's a picture, you guys. I believe he's supposed to be Quasimodo, but he had gotten turned where his back was facing the guests as they ride by. That, coupled with the doll not being lit up or moving at the time, it looked like the doll was hung from the neck and dead.
Wow.
I don't know if anyone else thought that, but my whole family was disturbed by it for the rest of the ride. I also wanted to say, I love your podcast and all your guest stars, especially Roxy. Aw, thank you, boo. Annie and the Disney Dream Girls.
Did you pay him to write that?
Nah, dude. I don't even know this person. I can't wait for this October to see what you have planned. Keep up the amazing work and keep it creepy. Zephyr. Aw, Zephyr, that was a great email.
That was awesome.
I don't like you, Zephyr.
Ha-ha! You literally mentioned every lady on the show except for...
Except for me. Thanks a lot, bro.
He doesn't like you, dude. He doesn't like you. He likes me. We established this. Me and Zephyr are close, okay? We're tight.
But to address the email...
Oh, yeah.
I haven't noticed that.
You could do that.
I didn't notice the Quasimodo hanging last time I was on Small World.
I thought that Quasimodo was even in that area.
No,
I've been on Small World in Florida.
Actually, you're right, Cupcake Terror. There are no Disney characters in the Florida It's a Small World.
Look at that.
So glad you're here to set us straight.
Yeah. You know me, because I'm a Walt Disney World regular.
The girls are upset because the thingy and the thingy is not working.
No.
Yeah, all the effects in the IndieQ haven't been working for a while.
I'm always upset when the thingy doesn't work.
I know. I hate when the thingy
is. This is a family show.
No, you know what? There are no characters in the Florida Small World, so it definitely couldn't have been Quasimodo. And the fact that it was from the Eiffel Tower, I don't think they would have put Quasimodo there. That would have been really weird.
Yeah.
So what we need is we need one of our listeners to go to Florida, go on It's a Small World, and check it out for us and report back and let us know.
Report back. See if there's still a hanging Quasimodo-ish
doll. I'll do it if Creepy Kingdom pays for it.
That is not in the Creepy Kingdom's current budget to fly a Cupcake Terror out for this report, unfortunately.
I can't do the cupcake on the spot then?
No.
No. If Creepy Kingdom is flying anyone out, it's the Evil Queen.
But thank you for listening to all those episodes. And
yeah.
And
that was awesome. Keep listening. We like you.
Roxy will send your check soon.
I did not pay him, I swear.
Well, Cupcake, since you were left out, what's your plea for the next time that they write in for you to be included on this list?
That I have really pretty hair, and no, I don't know.
Doesn't work for a podcast.
She's not cool like me, okay?
All right, so we're going to continue reading a little bit later. We're going to go on the ride.
Yay!
Alrighty, we are at the Holly Jolly Bakery.
Jolly Holly.
It's Mary Poppins Bakery. And,
you guys, look, it's really, really hot here in Disneyland today. The park isn't very full, which is nice, but it is super hot. So if you're wondering what's wrong with our brains, they have melted. They've melted in the heat. You just have to hop from air conditioner to air conditioner and pray that you make it. So please excuse James and not knowing the Mary Poppins Bakery.
It's a Mary Poppins Bakery.
I love the Mary Poppins Bakery. The sandwiches are really good at Mary Poppins Bakery.
Yeah,
try the Cabrizi.
That's a sandwich, right?
Yeah,
that's a sandwich. Not the salad. Let's not be silly. Okay. We have another email from a listener. Name of T.D. Fisher. Hello, sir. Or ma'am. Hi, James. I'm catching up on old episodes and heard you guys mention the idea of a Disney cinematic universe. After leaving the theater from watching the new live-action Cinderella, I had a strong feeling that they had laid the groundwork to connect Cinderella to the upcoming Beauty and the Beast through Helena Bonham Carter's fairy godmother doubling as the Enchantress at the beginning of BATB. Oh, Beauty and the Beast, which I think would be amazing. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this or any other ways you think the new remakes could be connected to form their own universe. Do you think they would have to limit the universe to the princess movies? Or could Dumbo, Jungle Book, etc. fall into the universe as well? All the best. Brett. Thank you, sir, for your wonderful email.
Dude, I love this idea. You know I love this idea. I love the idea of a Disney cinematic universe, like the Marvel cinematic universe, and everything being all, like... together, and the whole Helena Bonham Carter as the fairy godmother and the Enchantress would be rad, and we could like maybe she could be like Ursula in the Little Mermaid movie, and because she'd be a good Ursula, and we should do this.
Okay. No, I don't actually like the idea of combining all the movies. I think that having elements from each movie in a Disney movie is a lot of fun. I think that we would I don't know, like the little hidden Mickey things, like Rapunzel and what's his name, are in the Frozen movie.
Eugene.
You know, Eugene, thank you. Eugene.
Right. Welcome.
Flynn Rider. That was the name I was like, Flynn Rider. I like that there are little snippets like that, but I don't like the idea of all of them coinciding
in a shared universe.
I love the
Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, and I love when you're watching Iron Man. Stuff. Yeah, you're watching Iron Man, and you know Black Widow pops up, and then they're all in Avengers, and they're this and that and that. I love that. So, if we saw that in a Disney movie, and we had that in the, I think that would be rad.
I think the Disney universe would implode.
No,
that'd
be killer. And then they could have an Avengers type Disney live action movie where all the princesses come together and they get rid of their ball gowns and put on their fighting clothes.
I think they did. And it's a B movie and it's called what's it called? It's a total B movie. It's on Netflix.
It's not a Disney movie.
It doesn't matter. It has princesses in it and they're all fighting.
We need a Disney.
Oh, that was Hansel and Gretel.
We need a Disney Cinematic Universe. Oh, I love that movie.
The Hunter movie was.
I loved that movie. It was awesome. No, we
need the sugar sickness.
Yes, dude. Try to get the sugar sickness every day. I don't know, James. What do you think?
I think that this is all going to come together in the upcoming Magic Kingdom movie.
There we go.
That would be the Avengers type movie.
Okay, that's the only way I would allow it, though, because it involves the park itself as a living being, not movies.
Because how would those stories that take place in different times and places tie together unless it's the Magic Kingdom movie?
But they're magic. I mean, they all have magic in them. Magic exists. And if, the fairy godmother and magic and blah 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 can hop between movie to movie to movie, why not? You know, it would be cool. Okay, so think about it this way. Think about it let's pretend that Helena Bonham Carter did play Ursula, right? We've got a live action Little Mermaid movie and she is playing Ursula and Ariel goes into the cavern, you know, and she's like, yeah, I want legs. And Ursula's like, all right, well, let me see what I can do. And she starts going through stuff and she pulls a glass slipper out and goes, no, 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 that belongs to somebody else. You know, that would be rad.
That falls into the concept of little snippets from other movies popping up, not actual presence of, you know, the fairy godmother from Cinderella in The Little Mermaid. And I think that's what Brett was saying.
I'd be okay with it.
You still okay with it?
I'm still okay with it. I'd be okay if in the beginning of, say, the Tangled live-action movie that, you know, they might make one day.
Not yet, Disney, though.
But seriously, so it's a Tangled live-action movie, and, they're going through the town, you know? I'd be so okay with, Belle and Cinderella sitting at a little cafe together, you know? And they just kind of go by them, hey, what's up, yo?
Two different parts of the world.
Don't even care.
Belle's from Paris and Cinderella's from, was it London?
Actually, no, they're both from France.
Are they both from France?
Yeah, and Belle's not from Paris, Belle's from France.
Isn't that...
Because Belle lives in a small provincial town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
Paris is
Paris.
A city.
Sorry, yeah, France. I meant
the
France.
The city of lights.
Well, there's a reason I waited to read this on. I knew that you two would have so much to say.
Sorry, James.
On this topic. I think, generally speaking, I think it's cool in movies all across. That's what we love about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and the Lego dimension.
Yeah, it could work, but I don't think they're doing it.
I don't think they will either. I'd be okay with if they did, but I don't think they will. I think they'll keep it just like Katie said. They'll have little snippets here and there. Seriously, though, Disney, use my shoe idea. Because
that's a cute idea.
It'd be awesome. I'm hella smart.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed that. We plan on reading more listener emails live from Disneyland. So, if you're a listener, which you obviously are if you're currently listening to the sound of my voice, and you want to contact us, you can email the show creepykingdom@gmail.com. And to check out any of our other podcasts, Curvy Cutie Chat,
Thief and James, the podcast and Roxy's World. Just go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest. Your one-stop shop is creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
That
I have a girl now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha